Capehart, Fanny Ashurst. St. Helena, California, February 28, 1906. Mrs. Fanny Ashurst Capehart, Westmoreland, Washington Heights, Washington. My dear sister, I have just read your letter. I will not delay writing, for perhaps a few lines may relieve your mind. My husband died in Battle Creek in 1881. For a year, I could not endure the thought that I was alone. My husband and I had stood side by side in our ministerial work, and for a year after his death, I could not endure the thought that I was left alone, alone, to carry the responsibilities that in the past he and I had carried together. During the year, I did not recover, but came near dying. But I will not dwell upon this. While my husband was lying in his coffin, our good brethren came to me and urged that we pray that he be raised to life. I told them, no, no. While living, he had done the work that should have been shared by two or three men, and now he was at rest. Why call him back to life to endure again that through which he has passed? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. The year that followed my husband's death was filled with suffering for me. I did not think I could live. I became so weak. The idea came to members of my family that there would be a spark of hope for me if I could be induced to attend the camp meeting in Healdsburg. This meeting was to be held in a grove about half a mile from my home in Healdsburg. They hoped that on the campground, God would reveal to me distinctly that I was to live. There was at the time no color in my face, but a deadly paleness. They took me to the campground one Sunday in an easy carriage. That day the large tent was full. It seemed as if nearly all Healdsburg was present. A lounge was placed on the broad platform that served as a pulpit, and on it I was made as comfortable as possible. During the meeting, I said to my son W.C., "White, will you help me up and assist me to stand on my feet while I say a few words?" He said that he would, and I got up. For 5 minutes I stood there, trying to speak, and thinking that it was the last speech I should ever make, my farewell message. All at once I felt a power come upon me, like a shock of electricity. It passed through my body and up to my head. The people said that they plainly saw the blood mounting to my lips, my ears, my cheeks, my forehead. Before that large number of people, I was healed, and the praise of God was in my heart and came from my lips in clear tones. A miracle was wrought before that large congregation. I then took my place among the speakers and before the congregation bore a testimony such as they had never before heard. It was as if one had been raised from the dead. That whole year had been one of preparation for this change. And this sign the people in Healdsburg were to have as a witness for the truth. My husband died in 1881. Since that time, I have done more work than in all my life before in carrying responsibilities and in writing and publishing books. When my husband was dying, I promised him that with the help of my two sons, I would carry on the work that he and I had done unitedly, if the Lord would be pleased to give me strength. I have not studied my ease. I have refused to fail or become discouraged. And I have not been told in words that I shall see my husband in the city of God. I hope that I should not need the evidence of words to give me this assurance. I have the evidence of the Word of God that my husband loved the truth and kept the faith. And I have the assurance that if I follow on trustingly, faithfully, doing God's will as a faithful messenger, my husband and I will be reunited in the kingdom of God. I have not one particle of doubt regarding my husband's preparedness to lay off the armor. The year before my husband's death was the most trying one I ever experienced. But since the life-giving power came to me as I stood in the large tent at the Healdsburg camp meeting, I have felt in a special sense that the Lord spared my life that I might bear a definite message, and that the angels of God are by my side. Were it not for the evidence that the Lord is my helper, I could not work as I do. While he spares my life, I shall faithfully discharge my duty. I am not doing my work, but the work of the Lord.
Now, my sister,
We have a right to take the Lord at His word. I have never asked God to reveal to me whether I should be saved or whether my husband will be saved. I believe that if I live in obedience to all the commandments of God and do not become discouraged, but walk in the light as Christ is in the light, I shall at last meet my Savior and see His face. For this I am striving. I will not trust in man or make flesh my arm. I have the promise that if I am faithful in bearing the messages God gives me, I shall receive the crown of life. My gaining this crown depends on my believing the message of truth and holding by faith the promise of God that I shall have His grace to sustain me in discharging the duties He requires of me. If I discharge faithfully my duty, what others choose to do will not be charged to my account because I did not warn them. My sister, no longer show any distrust of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go forward in faith, believing you will meet your husband in the kingdom of God. Do your very best to prepare the living to become members of the royal family and children of the heavenly King. This is our work now. This is your work. Do it faithfully, and believe that you will meet your husband in the city of God. Do what you can to help others to be cheerful. Uplift souls. Lead them to accept Christ. Never torture your soul as you have been doing, but be humble, true, faithful, and you have the word of God that you will meet when the warfare is ended. Be of good cheer.